League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Again, but unfortunately this time the Rockets come up with the short end of the stick and lose it 124 to 118 for the first time this season. The Rockets have lost three straight games.
I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with Craig Ackerman of the Space City Home Network. That was not a great game because the Rockets nearly allowed 50 points in the fourth quarter, a quarter in which, going into it, they held an 11-point lead.
It was an entertaining game.
Not for me.
I mean, it was a fun back and forth for a while in the fourth quarter there until, you know, Jalen
shouldn't
Brunson.
Have been a back and forth.
No, it should not have. It should not have been. But it's where this team, they got to learn to win in the fourth quarter. Like, it is the biggest thing that's going to hold them back for the now, for the future. We saw the Thunder go through this last year. Like, this is a very, this feels like the Rockets are now where they should be, which is a much improved basketball team that has to learn how to win basketball games.
Yeah, a much improved basketball team that is playing probably closer to what their record should be. I mean, we're being honest about them. Looking in the mirror, this is a team that has some really good defensive players. But it's a team that doesn't shoot the ball very well and that doesn't have the best ball handling. And that's young. So you factor all those things in. I mean, this is a middle-of-the-pack Western Conference team, but right now, they're at the top of the table, close to it.
Yeah.
This Thunder team this year is the exception in the West. They're the ones who look like they're going to run away with it.
They also, like last night, were specifically playing without their two best players or
correct.
Two of their four best players at worst. So that is part of it. It's like the issues are just so magnified and so multiplied by the fact that when we talk about this team struggling late-game situations, there's really two guys that feel like the more steady hands of late-game offense, in the half-court especially, and both those guys were in street clothes. So it makes it even worse that when Jalen Brunson is going off, that there is no one really that can get reliable offense on the other side for the Rockets.
Yeah, for the Alperen Şengün stock up. Because of these games.
Yeah. Maybe Ime will stop benching them, huh?
Yeah.
The Turks are right.
Let me put on a little hat with the thing. Is that what the...
What the Turks
the
do?
The Turks wear?
I don't know.
Keep on going. Let's see where this one goes.
Yeah, fezes, right?
Fezes.
All right. Sam,
you know what?
Flip
that sounded right. That sounded right.
I know Turk. I know ball.
So, no Şengün, no Van Vliet. Yeah, that's not surprising that it would end like this. But when you have an 11-point lead going into the fourth quarter and you end the third quarter with this, can we play that dunk that Amen Thompson had where Ryan Hollins, bless his heart, maybe ended the highlight with the crescendo of all crescendos?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Oh, no, he did it. Oh, he just got Precious Achiuwa. The third quarter ending, now with 1.1 to go in it.
We got
to
give this one five big booms. Boom, 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 boom.
Five more big booms to Amen Thompson.
Is Ryan Hollins starting to listen to us?
I don't know.
That is the pander to
they're
us.
Really growing on me. I mean, I've always loved Craig, but.
no show appreciates the Costco guys quite like us. Yes, are they a sign of the downfall of Western civilization? Sure, they are. But we like them because of their relentless positivity. And I thought it was great that Ryan Hollins worked that in at the very end. And when they had that dunk, I thought the game was done. The Knicks are a bunch of frauds every year. Oh, Jalen Brunson's a superstar. Shut up. I get that he had 40-plus points, but he's not in that conversation. Nor will any New York Knick be in that conversation, including Karl Anthony Towns. But you had an 11-point lead on them, and you let it slip away at the very end. You've lost three in a row now, and this is where Ime Udoka has to step in and do Ime Udoka things, which he did immediately to open last night's press conference.
I don't think it was rim protection. I think it was one-on-one defense. They have a 46-point quarter. You know, we scored 29. We scored 118. We scored enough points to win. But very soft and uncompetitive defensively, and just going at us one-on-one, and we're complaining about offensive fouls, not boxing out, not doing our assignment, getting back cut, off-ball actions. And that adds up to 46. And so scored enough to win.
Rockets might be on soft boys tomorrow because Ime Udoka called him soft right there.
He ain't wrong. He is not wrong. I appreciate him so much for just being so direct. And that's like the nice version. What do you think it's like in the locker room? And we always talk about like D'Amico, like how he's like very like with the media, like he's very like calm, but you're always like assuming that behind closed doors, it's different. If that's what Ime is like with us, like what is he talk? Like how does he talk to these guys?
I think they have mentioned before where they ask, I forgot which player, like, hey, you guys are a really good third quarter team. Like what does Ime Udoka like say to you guys? And he's like, a lot of it I can't repeat. Like he just, it implies that he goes in there and just rips them.
Well, how do you think he says it? That's my big question. Because I imagine, like Bill Belichick, it's in that same tone. Because Ime Udoka, I'm not saying he sounds like RFK, but it does sound like he needs a glass of water all the time.
Yeah, he sounds like he's...
He's speaking from the back of his throat.
Yeah, and he always sounds like he's trying not to raise his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's not like Doc Rivers.
It's library talk.
Yeah, like where like Doc is, you know, would just like lose his voice all the time.
But yeah, it's just like hoarse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's whipping darts.
I would assume Ime just screams at them and just rips them to shreds constantly. And
we need him mic'd up.
And like if you can't handle it, then that's why you're not a fit on the Rockets.
But when you saw him in that moment where he called LeBron James soft, soft-ass boy, he didn't yell it. He just chirped it.
Yeah, he just kind of like...
I think when you're 6'9", you don't need to yell ever.
That's true.
He might not like yell at them, but... I just think he would...
He definitely raises... No, he definitely raises his voice.
Yeah, when he is lamenting at halftime about certain plays or what's happening on defense, it is at a very loud decibel level.
Yeah.
That's what I would imagine.
I don't think that he goes in there and he's like, Amen Thompson, you have to stop him from... If Jalen Brunson scores one bucket on you, it's a reflection of you as not just as a player, but as a man. And I question everything. Jalen Green, stop bitching about foul calls. Dylan Brooks, you're not making shots. Stop taking them. Like, I think he raises his voice and raises his inflection when he's ripping these guys.
I hope he does, but it would be just as effective, I think, if he's saying it like this. Like, Belichick would yell occasionally, but Belichick, for the most part, the deliverance of what he said to players was similar to the way that he talked at press conferences where he's not really speaking loud, but it was vicious what he said.
Well, that's what like makes you a great coach is you have to know when, because you can't have the same tone all the time because then it becomes tone deaf. If you're just scream all the time, and if you're just happy go lucky all the time, like you have to be able to go back and forth, and that's probably what he's like, and that's why, like even though this 3-game losing streak, it's tough for the Rockets, and tonight it will tell you I think a lot about who this team really is, because they should smash Brooklyn. Especially after their last performance, Alperen Şengün's probable to play, so it seems like he'll be back in the lineup tonight. You're getting recognized left and right. Ime was Coach of the Month. NBA Communications just put out that Amen Thompson was Defensive Player of the Month this last month. So they're getting their flowers, but You're on a three-game losing streak.
Flowers are soft, too.
You got it. That's true.
Yeah, Emay's like, huh.
Step on those flowers.
Give me some thorns.
Defensive player of my ass.
Vanessa Richardson had a great stat, although she credits Rockets PR in the stat, where Ime Udoka was named January's Western Conference Coach of the Month. From Rockets PR, he has won the award in five of his 13 opportunities as a head coach. He's been a conference player of the month or coach of the month in 5 of his 13 months coaching.
Pretty impressive.
Wow. That's insane.
But it's very apparent. I mean, and now it's a matter of this team, which has been way overachieving, is now losing 3 games in a row. Is he going to be able to pull them out of this?
My assumption is yes.
I think so.
I feel pretty good about it.
It is a tough spot just like schedule-wise.
And injury-wise.
Before the All-Star break, it's always kind of a...
Oh, yeah, because this team, remember around vacation times under Steven Silas? Like, oh, well, Martin Luther King Jr. weekend's coming up.
Like, it was like from Thanksgiving till the All-Star break.
Till President's Day.
Kevin Porter Jr. would be like, you know, it's hard to focus with the holidays. It's so funny. But this is a rough stretch. It's 5 games and 7 nights, and you're also dealing with Fred VanVleet being out last night, Şengün being out the last few nights. So it is a tough spot with the schedule and stuff like that. But I do expect them to to not lose to the Nets again. Like, I expect them to win tonight at the very least. And yeah, we'll see what happens once they get healthier.
Sean behind the glass, Joe to my right. I'm Paul Gallant. I'm just going to leave you with something. My favorite Bill Belichick line ever while he was speaking in this kind of tone is from a Patriots book I read, and it just came to me right now. When asked about a player that he thought was stiff, someone in the room uttered, "That guy's stiffer than wedding you-know-what." Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, damn, Belichick. That would cut deep. That would cut deep in the pre-draft evaluation of a prospect. Good thing that Dell didn't use that to describe Alperen Şengün.
He got close.
Instead, he called him the big Turkish stiff. Next thing you know, it's an international incident.
Also, Fez is the Turkish name for that hat.
Gotcha. Okay.
Good job, Sean.
We're not going to get canceled.
I know.
How many accents?
I like this guy.
How many accent thingies does it have on it?
Zero. Just
really?
F-E-Z. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Very cool. All right. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to talk about the Rockets that collapse against the Knicks? You can. You want to talk about Dana Brown talking about Alex Bregman in the past tense? That's also on the table. Stay put.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Some comments. We were talking about the Rockets. Ime Udoka called them soft in their collapse against the New York Knicks last night. They had an 11-point lead going into the fourth quarter, but the Knicks ultimately won 124-118. Todd the Show says, I was actually surprised the Rockets were as competitive as they were without Şengün and Fred VanVleet, but Jalen Green still drives me nuts. And if Tari's out on the second night of a back-to-back against the Nets, maybe things don't go so well. Because the Nets did beat the Rockets on Saturday.
I think he is out. I think he is going to be out tonight, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been ruled out for tonight's game due to left leg injury management.
Does it really say that on the injury report?
Yes.
Yeah. That's how you get around, like, sitting guys on the second night of back-to-back. If they've been hurt recently, you just go, oh, they're managing that.
Yeah, injury. If you put injury management, you can sit out back-to-backs legally.
And Şengün, I think, is listed as probable.
Yeah, he's probable.
He is probable.
So, Eason out, Şengün in from last night's Rockets, it looks like.
From the 512, Paul, let me get an Ime voice impression. I'm not good at the impressions. I'm not good at those.
Slippery slope, too.
What do you mean?
You never know.
I mean,
We've been canceled for less.
It doesn't lend itself to that style. It really is just Bill Belichick. Like, if you just do Bill Belichick, it is basically Ime Udoka.
Minus the grunts and mumbles.
Yeah,
and
but
stuff.
it's just really low.
And better answers.
Low down here. And you just have to bring up toughness.
Well, let me tell you about Jalen Brunson. Soft. Just completely soft. No, I'm going to have to work on this. And I think it is something I can do, but I'm going to have to work on this. But that is a good one to workshop. I like the idea of voicing Ime Udoka's inner monologue. So that's something I will work on. I appreciate the suggestion.
It's like the Key and Peele anger translator sketch with Obama.
Yeah. Ime Udoka impersonation. I will work.
Literally, he's writing it down.
Writing it down.
Yeah. Paul's a writer.
He has written notes occasionally. Yeah, written notes.
I type mine out.
What?
Like if they were playing sound, I type my notes out because I write like a 2-year-old.
I do too, and
I can't read my own handwriting.
Half the time,
sometimes.
I write notes. I don't even know what I wrote. From the 682, talking about Ime Udoka addressing his players, I feel like it is scarier if he doesn't yell. I agree. I think murmuring your frustration when you're 6'9" is terrifying.
Yeah.
Because again, he is 6'9".
He's a large man.
He is huge.
Yeah, I could see that being more terrifying. It's like the disappointed dad. Instead of him yelling at you, just being like, I'm disappointed in the way you play defense. I feel like that would cut deep.
But there is like, it's not like disappointed. It's like disappointed, but also there's just, like, every time they show him, it just seems like a slow cooking of anger that's happening. Yeah. Where it's like, there's just, you can just see the anger, like steam coming off of him.
It feels like an explosion's going to happen at any moment.
It never
but
does.
It never actually does.
Thank God that the 3 seed, or else it would come out.
Gosh, I mean, how many, it feels like he doesn't even get that many techs.
No, not really.
And the way he acts on the sidelines sometimes, you think they'd be coming, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not even really that demonstrative. Like, he gets upset at calls and stuff, but he's not, like, super demonstrative. Yeah. Like, Taylor Jenkins, like, he was a couple last week.
Well,
when they didn't call the timeout. Like, I've never seen Ime get that upset about
anything. No, I haven't either.
Well, I mean, it was one of the most absurd things we've ever seen in a basketball game, to call a timeout that's not been called.
He's running. He's like, oh, I thought it was a timeout. What? Is the guy had a breakaway layup.
I wonder what he yelled. He must have yelled something. Like, for the ref to just randomly stop a play?
Yeah, he must have said something.
He must have said something.
Yeah.
A little word vomit. Did he Howard Dean himself?
Yeah. Was someone's name Tim? Time? I don't know.
Could be that. Yeah, Ty. That.
Yeah.
That could work. Go, Ty! Go!
Tie it.
Yeah.
I don't know the Grizzlies roster off the top of my head, though. The other news from today with Nick Caley, the Texans offensive coordinator, and Cooper Kupp, a trade possibility, but not seemingly a target of the Houston Texans at this moment in time. Hearing Dana Brown speaking about Alex Bregman in the past tense, and we're getting closer and closer to this, I think, being just officially done. But that's really the most of an update that we've gotten when it comes to Alex Bregman in quite some time, given that most baseball writer reports about interest in Bregman have been about how some teams have either put in an offer or are monitoring the current situation.
Yeah, it felt like right around everything was happening with Presley, FanFest. It felt like the market had shifted for Alex and that things were going to come together quickly for either the Astros or his new team, and then it just seems to have hit a wall again.
It seems like both are at an impasse and neither wants to text one another, which for those of us who have dealt with relationships in the texting era, sometimes you have a disagreement with somebody and you do not want to be the person to, one, respond or bring up something that needs to be brought up, or two, maybe you feel that person's supposed to do it. So there's some sort of stalemate here, and I do wonder if Scott Boris, who Joe considers to be washed, and I don't think it's that far-fetched, I wonder if he calls Dana Brown.
I mean, we know he texted him last week, but... Mm-hmm. It feels like Scott Boris is going to have to be the initiator here, and to getting Well, also Alex. Like, Alex Bregman, as much as I think Scott Boras is washed, and I think it's part of it is because I think he tells his clients unrealistic expectations of what they're going to hit in the market, and then that's what leads to some of this. At the same time, it is fair to say if Alex Bregman truly wanted to be a Houston Astro, he could just accept the deal that's on the table. I mean, going from $28.5 million a year to $26 million a deal and not wanting to take that pay cut, I get the ego behind it, but it's clearly a fair offer based on what the market is telling you. Because if you had a better offer, you'd be on a different team. So like if Alex like really wanted to be here, he could just tell Scott to take the deal.
True. He might be of the opinion that the league is colluding and that no one wants to go over a certain number. Is that actually happening? Hard to say. The idea that it's impossible, collusion between owners, not that crazy. Like I think that Chip Kelly getting $6 billion as an offensive coordinator, there's only one team in the NFL that would have done that, and it was the team that gave him that, the Raiders. Because the other teams do, I think, collude from a standpoint of, we're not going to give coordinator X, Y, Z a salary over this because it's going to set a precedent for future coordinators and what they're going to be looking for.
I mean, we have evidence of that with the Deshaun Watson contract with the Browns, where other owners were like, you cannot fully guarantee a contract or else every quarterback is going to ask for a fully guaranteed quarterback like Deshaun Watson.
And luckily for the NFL, I mean, that has just completely backfired on the Browns. But yeah, you're right. They don't make coaching salaries public because they don't want anyone to figure out so that coaches can continue to ask for more and more like these players do. Mm-hmm. They always keep it very tight-lipped. So to bring it back to that, like maybe Bregman believes that there's something like that going on. But there's also this as a possibility. I mean, if I had an agent and I'm paying someone to be my agent, I don't want to deal with any of this. I want this person to take care of all of it for me so that I don't have somebody from the organization that I played for a decade telling me, yeah, you kind of blow now, dude. What's up with April? What's up with May even at times too, big boy? What's going on here? This is why we're offering you what we're offering you. I can understand why he maybe wants to distance himself from it. And again, if you're paying your agent that much, the agent should take care of all of it. So you're right in that if Bregman really, really wanted it, he might tell Scott Boras, dude, just take it. But there's also, I think, some plausible deniability for Bregman that is totally fair to think about. And I'll put it out there because I think there's a lot of people that are going after Bregman right now, and I don't really like it.
I think that's fair. I think that it's funny that the flip-flopping we've seen where it was, we really want Bregman back, everyone bring back Bregman, and then you sign, you know, you trade for Paredes, you sign Christian Walker, Bregman wasn't that good anyways. And then it flipped back the other way last week to where Alex Bregman at third base, like Jose Altuve, the GOAT teammate, but Alex Bregman should be your third baseman, Paredes should be at second, and then now it feels like, again, it's flipped to where Alex Bregman's not really that good anyways. He should be happy the Astros are offering him this deal.
Or it's if you really loved us, you would take this crappy deal.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of like I read it, I'm like, this is sounds like a manipulative boyfriend or girlfriend in an argument where it's like Alex Bregman should take this crappy offer. If he really loved the city of Houston and he really loved the Houston Astros, he would take this offer.
He would go apple picking with me if he really loved me.
Don't try to emotionally manipulate a third baseman.
You'd watch Real Housewives on Bravo with me. What do you think the last text exchange was between Scott Boras and Dana Brown? I really hope that it was this. You know what's always, if you want to piss somebody off in a text conversation, and sometimes I do this intentionally just to be a dick, but
here's up.
If you respond, K.
Oh, see, I think it was
just
like,
not even okay, not even liking the message.
Yeah.
If you just respond K, very often the other person will think something is wrong, which is very fun to do from time to time.
So Scott Boras texts Dana Brown.
K.
Call me back.
And Dana says K.
And then doesn't call him for 24 hours.
Doesn't call him.
And does a press conference where he's like, I still need to call that guy.
I feel like it was a like. I think he just liked the text.
Gave the thumbs up.
That's it. Yeah. Not even like sent the emoji. Just held on to it.
Oh, just liked it?
And just pushed the thumbs up.
What if, so on Instagram, the person who sends you a message knows whether or not you've read it. So what if it's one of those situations where they saw it in the inbox, but they didn't open it because they didn't want the other person to know that they read it.
Didn't want to. He has read receipts on.
Yeah.
It's tough getting left unread.
Well, it's tough also knowing that a person has read.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that person has not opened up the text message as well.
Yeah, because there is a little bit of like, I sent this text 24 hours ago. Like, they definitely know that I texted. Like, yes. Even if they didn't go in and look at it and open up, like, go into the conversation and look at it, like, you get the notification. Like, you got the notification that you've definitely texted somebody in the last 24 hours. And you've gone out of your way not to text back me, Scott Boras.
You're Scott Boras.
Yeah,
he probably thinks he deserves a response within seconds.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, but I heard Joel talk about it last week. It was a great point that Joel pointed out that Scott Boras, maybe he just doesn't have the same pull that he once was. Maybe he's a little over the hill as an agent. Like, this wouldn't have happened to the Scott Boras of old. I thought it was great that Joel pointed that out.
I think so too. I think it's a great point. I do think there is some collusion happening here, though, for Bregman. Like, to what you said.
Of course. It goes on with every player that's not named Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani.
I've been thinking a lot about this Dodger stuff with the like the theory that they're just spending all this money because they know there's going to be no baseball in 2027. You know, if Jim Crane knows, and most of these MLB owners know there's not going to be baseball in 2027, and for a calendar year, they're going to have no revenue coming in. There'd be no parking lots, no jersey sales, no people in no one in watching these games on TV or in person. Like, do you think they all want to spend money right now? Like, knowing that a lockout is probably coming in 2 years and that they're going to go to the salary cap. It goes back to why is Jim Crane only giving up 3-year contracts all the time? Because he has publicly said he's open to restricting length of contracts before. So maybe they just all they're all going to be real broke for a calendar year coming up here. And that's why a guy like Bregman is not getting paid. Like, it makes me wonder.
We'll see what happens. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Up next, everything you missed over the weekend in sports, including a crazy game between our beloved Cougs and Texas Tech. Stick around.
Hey, if you are waiting to get into the gym in 2025, don't wait anymore. Go to O Athletic. Check them out, oathletic.com, O Athletic on Instagram. It's not too far from the radio station. Near 767 North Shepherd in the Heights. They have everything you could potentially want. They have personal training. They have classes. They have all the weight room and recovery that you need. The sauna, the steam room, the endless pool. It's all right there. There's an open area to where you can do any kind of workout you want. You can get a run in. There's this giant hill. I can't even describe it. It's so high, I would never try to run it because I probably would fall down and hurt myself. But everything they have there, they even have volleyball outside, so you can get in that as well. O Athletic is a great gym. It's a gym for me. It should be the gym for you. Check them out at oathletic.com.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
Doesn't ring a bell. Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
Everything you might have missed over the weekend in sports. So, our beloved Cougs had a top 25 showdown against Texas Tech at the Fertitta Center. Wish I had gone. This game was fun. Our Cougs lost 82-81 in overtime. This thing was intense start to finish. 4 minutes in, Texas Tech's JT Toppin, their best player, got ejected. Why? While throwing a cross-court pass, he jumped up in the air, and his right leg connected directly with the nuts of a Cougs player. So, it didn't seem intentional, but there was a review. It was called a flagrant 2, and Texas Tech coach Grant McCaslin lost his mind when he saw the replay. he got ejected.
I don't understand.
I don't think it was intentional.
I don't think it was either.
But
I know you're trying to protect the players. And
if Draymond Green or Dylan Brooks had done it, I would have thought it might be intentional.
Yeah.
I did not think that JT Toppin did that intentionally.
Yeah. Apparently, Brett Yormack, the commissioner of the Big 12, said that it would be addressed and there would be accountability for this.
I'd hope so, because the Texas Tech athletic director, Kirby Hokut, said, "I am appalled and disappointed by the official's egregious decision to eject JT Toppin from tonight's basketball game against Houston. This decision, made on a play that was clearly accidental and without intent, is unacceptable. Immediately after the ejection, I spoke with Commissioner Yormark, who assured me that the situation would be addressed and there would be accountability. On behalf of Red Raider Nation, we are extremely proud of our team and the leadership of Coach McCasland." That would have been fun to go to, though. Fertitta Center, I've said it before, best place to watch a game in sports in Houston. I don't think there's any debate about this. And to see a guy get ejected 4 minutes in and then see a scrappy game for the remaining 36 minutes and then 5 minutes of overtime, hell yeah.
Yeah, the Cougs have kind of become like must-watch. I mean, they're always good. But, like, this season's been very entertaining so far for them. They've had a lot of really good basketball games.
Well, you should see what's coming up on the schedule.
What do they got next?
So, February 15th at Arizona.
Okay.
Could be the game of the year. A rematch with Texas Tech, the 24th.
Circle that one.
Iowa State, the 22nd. They could be both in the top 10. And then Kansas. Remember how that game ended?
Yeah.
Yeah.
March 3rd. So the next month of Cougars basketball features like four awesome games.
And they're still the number 5 team in the country right now.
Wow.
Did they go up after losing?
They did. Wow. Were they 7 last week?
I think they were 6 or 7, right. That makes no sense.
The basketball one is different than the football one because you play normally 2 games a week. So, like, there is a chance that you lose and don't go down if the win was good enough.
But they usually do it, I think, on Monday.
Yes. Yeah. No, what I'm saying is that they lost on Saturday, but if they won on Tuesday, then it might have balanced each other out, or everyone else in the top 5 lost, where I know there was a few upsets.
Iowa State, they dropped big.
Yeah.
I know they moved ahead of Florida, I think was the other team, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's an SEC one, too.
There was more trading in the NBA over the weekend. We talked a lot about Luka Doncic moving to the Lakers yesterday. Well, the Spurs got De'Aaron Fox from the Sacramento Kings. The Kings, as part of a 3-team trade, got Zach LaVine from the Chicago Bulls, 3 first-round picks and 3 second-round picks. And the Bulls got Zach Collins, a couple other players, and their pick that they had in 2025 that the Spurs had.
That they had.
Yeah.
So they owned the pick. It was just top 10 protected.
Oh.
So they just got the protections to go away. It's the dumbest.
So now the Bulls can have the 15th pick and get their pick back.
Which they could have had anyway.
Which also won't happen because they just traded Zach LaVine.
Pick swaps should not be included as part of trades. Like, I think they're annoying.
I mean, it's crazy.
This isn't even a swap. This is just them getting their pick back.
That's a pick that was from the DeMar DeRozan trade from
4 years
ago. Was that 8 years? Like 7 years ago? I don't know. Like
DeMar DeRozan?
Like 5 years
2021.
Ago? 2021. Was it 2021?
Yeah.
God, it feels like it was way
8 years ago, Derrick Rose was still on the team.
Oh, no. LaVine was only been there for 8. Was it there for 8 years? This is a good move for the Spurs. I like it a lot. Like, De'Aaron Fox wants to be there. You're going to lock him up. Instead of investing in an older player, like, why wait? It's like to hope someone wants to come to San Antonio. It makes a lot of sense for them.
Yeah, they did a good job. They didn't send any of their good, interesting young players other than Trey Jones, I guess. But
he's an expiring.
Yeah, he's not quite on the same level as the other guys. And they kept all the good pick. I mean, they just gave Chicago their pick back. It's basically the only pick that they gave away of, you know, serious note, and they keep all their Hawks picks, which are gonna look good. They kept all they had a Kings pick they somehow didn't have to swap back with the Kings, so they honestly have enough ammunition to make another move, to make another star move. So good job by the Spurs, but I won't give them too much credit considering the two teams they're negotiating against are the Dummies. Kings and Bulls. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the Cougs in basketball, Quentin Grimes was traded today from the Dallas Mavericks to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yes, for Caleb Martin.
Yes.
Originally, Shams just tweeted Caleb Martin has been Sixers, whatever, Caleb Martin has been traded to the Mavericks, and a lot of people had a lot of fun with, like, did the Mavericks just trade Kyrie Irving for for Caleb Williams or Caleb Martin?
By the way, speaking of the Luka Doncic trade, Brian Windhorst said it's not a complete guarantee Luka stays with the Lakers.
Ooh.
Okay. I don't believe that.
Well, they can't give him the Supermax now, right?
Well, he can't get the Supermax anywhere, so I guess he could leave at some
California point. Taxations. What if, what if he gets, what if he has a Paul Gallant against Antifa experience?
He just bought a house in Dallas.
Rockets? Spurs? Back to Texas? He'll be a Laker, probably for the rest of his life. I feel pretty comfortable.
The rest of his
life.
The rest of his career.
That's ominous, dude.
Rob Pelinka at the introductory press conference said he's happy that that Luke, not just Luka, but his family and like all of his staff, including his nutrition staff, are now part of the Lakers family. If you're Rob Pelinka and you're like, Luka, you can even bring your nutrition staff.
Yeah.
They're in. Welcome. I think they're doing everything they can to sign this guy long term, which
also,
they should.
He also thanked Nico Harrison at the press conference.
Yes.
Which, like, he straight up just, like, fleeced his friend. At some point, Nico Harrison, the GM of the Mavs, has to realize, like, this friendship is now over, right? Like, you just got worked by your buddy.
If Nico Harrison gets fired, I mean, Rob Pelinka, like, he's got that in his back pocket forever. Like, Rob Pelinka has to give him a job.
That's true.
So.
That'd be so funny. That. I think there would actually be like a revolt at the American Airlines arena if Nico Harrison within 18 months is working for the Lakers.
Well, I mean, okay, so this tweet has been deleted.
February 6th.
So do we know if this thing that you sent to Sean was real?
I thought it was because I've seen other people run with it other than this one account. But apparently the Mavericks are refunding people who canceled their season tickets for the rest of the season.
Oh, that's nice.
That is nice.
That's very nice of them.
That comes off a report where people were also saying that they've already been told that season ticket prices are going up next year.
Yes. apparently, do you know how much they're going up?
Was it 60%?
60% raise.
Yeah,
on season tickets after, or I mean, I guess they already set the number before Saturday, but now that they've traded Luka, hey, want to pay 60% more for these season tickets?
The people that aren't a part of the Mavericks who are like in sales and in marketing,
the business people
are so pissed off right now.
I think I'd quit my job. Like honestly, like if I was in that
can't quit a job unless you have another job lined up.
Go to Lakers. Ask the Lakers.
If I'm some fresh out of college kid and my job is to sell season tickets and cold call people, I think I'd rather work at McDonald's, man. Than like,
no, you wouldn't.
Like you want to call people and be like, "Hey, do you want season tickets?"
To get verbally
assaulted.
Yeah, you'd rather get verbally abused working in fast food than working for the Dallas Mavericks. Either way, you're going to get yelled at by people. But you'd rather
doing it for minimum wage.
Get a McGriddle.
What do you think they pay people that sell season tickets like that much
more than minimum wage?
Probably not that much.
You're not going to get shot at if you're at McDonald's, which is always a possibility.
Or Chick-fil-A. Yeah. Really,
go work at Chick-fil-A.
Brush up your resume and apply it.
No. Chick-fil-A. You're keeping that job, and you're not looking at it the right way. You got to release some of these calls. You got to release some of these calls publicly.
You can't record it in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, you can't?
No, you can't. It's a one-party consent.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So
that means we can prank call people?
No.
And record it?
Well, yes. You could just record people for your job. And do that.
Okay, I wasn't sure if they called you, it was legal.
Different states have different rules, but Texas, you don't have to let someone know.
Damn, okay. Guess what? The Dallas Mavericks broadcast talked about the Luka Doncic trade, if you want to laugh a little bit. Here's how that sounded.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mark Fonleville. Devin Harris will join me in a minute. I'm sorry if I look a little haggard today, like a lot of you. I didn't sleep very well last night. We're stunned. We're shocked. We're going through it. You all know what I'm talking about. The end of one era, the beginning of another. The news came down last night in reports, officially this morning, at 10:05 Eastern, 9:05 Central Time. Luka Doncic traded to the Los Angeles Lakers with Maxi Kleba and Markieff Morris for Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a first-round pick in the future.
We're in this together.
Gosh. That's a hard thing to probably... Because, like, you know, like, you're probably getting fired if you say the wrong thing on those broadcasts.
Or suspended, like yeah. Kevin Brown supposedly was with the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah. Wouldn't enjoy that job either.
Being the play-by-play of the Mavericks?
No, just, like, having to be like, yeah, Luka's gone.
The propaganda arm of, you know, we're fired up for Anthony Davis, NBA champion.
I mean,
Anthony
it's a great
Davis.
Job, but, like...
That fat, whining slob is no longer bringing us down.
I feel like you kind of have to lean into it.
It would be funny if he came in.
Do you think they already had their, like, Slovenian night or whatever, you know, Luka Doncic bobblehead night in commemoration of, winning the Western Conference last season or scoring 70 points last season? Like, do you think they wait until they had all the, like, Luka Doncic night? Do you think they wait until all those are over before they... Shipped him off.
Probably not.
Anthony Davis.
I mean, we know like the Astros didn't do that. Yeah. They had bobblehead nights for guys they traded like the week after, remember? They had Lo Profito bobblehead night in like Sugar Land last year. Like the week after he got traded.
That is in case you missed it, everything you might have missed over the weekend in the world of sports. All right. Close to the end of the show. It's been fun. It's been real. And it's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This is a very interesting news story from England. It's a British news story. And I'm just going to let the limey take it away.
A woman from Wales is facing jail after bombarding her boyfriend's ex with videos of herself farting. Rhiannon Evans, 25, has appeared in court today to plead guilty to harassment in Britain's first ever cyber farting case. She is accused of causing distress or anxiety to her boyfriend's ex after sending videos of herself passing wind. The prosecution told the magistrates that in the first video she sent, she proceeds to pass gas by placing the camera on her bottom and passing the gas. Over the next few days, another four videos were sent of the same nature, showing Rhiannon passing wind and then showing her face smiling at the camera. Her tooting continued on Boxing Day and New Year's Day, despite police getting wind of what had happened. Rhiannon was arrested at her home in Carnarvon and will be sentenced this week.
Getting wind of what happened. So she was farting on her phone and sending it to this guy's girl. And she was the ex of the guy. England, they don't let you do anything there. Just know, appreciate the freedom you have in the United States of America. You can do that here. You can't fart into a phone and send that fart to somebody else in England.
Yeah, you can do that in America.
They'll send you to jail.
At Pac-Man Joel on Twitter.
what?
I'm kidding.
What was that?
Send your farts that way. Please don't.
Not if you're in England.
You opened this can of worms up, sir.
Not in England. You'll go to jail.
Yeah.
You can't do it in
you broke the seal on them.
What a terrible thing to get arrested for, honestly. Like,
I mean, it's kind of funny.
You know, it's very funny, but like, imagine you like, actually arrested. Getting arrested. Like, the cops show up, and you're just like, wait, what am I going to jail for?
It's a good question. Many people don't consider pickleball to be a sport, but a couple of pickleballers are really, really trying to make it a thing. Here are Gabe Tardio and Tyson McGuffin.
And what has been both of your favorite parts of being in Melbourne?
You know, the bitches are amazing. It's just everything. It's just an amazing city.
Tyson, what about you?
No kids and a lot of bedroom cardio.
Oh, my gosh. Alrighty, well, congratulations. These two in the finals. Dylan, back to you.
I think he said beaches, but it sounded like the first guy was saying the bitches are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and then, it would go with what the second guy said.
The second guy's clearly having a lot of sex. Pickleball players, not virgins, confirmed. That's a surprise.
Or at least trying to portray that. No, not sure. TBD. You never know, maybe pickleball parties are wild.
Maybe. Tyson McGuffin was really killing it.
Apparently he's the bad boy of pickleball. He's like the John McEnroe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's an actual article about him on Barstool Sports at one point.
Have you played yet?
No. I might get back into golf. We'll see. We'll see.
Really?
Yeah, we'll see.
After mastering it. Wow.
Well, yeah, I might, because now that I'm a master, I might be at the best. But first, we're doing flag football one day at a time on today, the greatest day of all of our lives. That's going to wrap up today's Gallon and George. Big thanks to our texters, callers, YouTubers, Twitchers, and everyone else who listened. For Sean Mapes, for Joe George, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. First, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. That's what you use for an awesome deposit bonus. They're going to double your initial deposit. The Super Bowl, it's a game. And guess what? Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. That is your go-to shop for the big game. You see what's going on? Chiefs, one-point favorites against the Eagles. All sorts of parlays you can bet on. You can bet on the MVP, the coin toss, the national anthem, the Gatorade color, for God's sakes. Taylor Swift props. There's like 12 of them. We went through it earlier in the show. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. And don't forget about their risk-free Thursdays. You place a bet on Thursdays, you lose. Guess what? You don't lose a thing. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.